Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you. It's great to worship with you as a church family, and I hope you're doing well. I've had a great week. It's been incredibly fun and also a little bit heavy, so I'll explain a little bit. First off, in 3 days, it's Gage's birthday, and that is incredibly exciting. This baby boy, I grow more in love with him every day, and then slightly less in love with him every night. But in general, it's an up and to the right kind of trend as he's keeping me up, but we love him. And he had his first swim lesson the other day. He's officially a diaper diver, so stay out of the Wanda Fuca pool. That's a joke. It's weird. Hopefully you found that funny. It's weird when no one's here with us in the building. You've probably seen pictures of him. You've probably, maybe whether that's through social media or through stuff I've shown you here. And it's exciting that I get to share this with you. But the sad part is that most of you probably haven't met him. And that's incredibly sad because I know if you met Gage, he would bring joy to your life. There's some things that we've missed this year. I know there have been other SBC families who've had kids. Some of you have gotten new jobs. Some of you graduated high school or had other life achievements. Some of you have just got to spend some more time as a family, and hopefully for you that's been a good thing. And we've missed a lot this year. Some of us have been able to work more at home, which has been great. I've been able to do that, and Sarah's a year into her mat leave. But starting in September, she is going to be going back to her job as a teacher. She picked a good year to be off of teaching. I know a lot of you in all your work have had to pivot quite a bit. Teachers, any teachers watching right now, I do want to say thank you. I know it's been a hard year switching to online, dealing with all of the regulations that you've had to deal with, and then having still people complain about you. So shout out to teachers. Thank you for that. When Sarah was teaching early on in our marriage, she would sometimes plan her field trips for my days off so I could help out with the field trips. And I learned a few things from those field trips. The first off is that teaching is exhausting. And the second is that the best lesson of the week is the field trip. Take that with a grain of salt. I'm someone who's never taught before and only showed up to the field trip. So, what do I know? But the one field trip that we had, Sarah got me to sit next to this one rather talkative child in the bus. I guess she thought we would just get along great. We both like to talk. This will be fantastic. And I'm in the bus, and the drive is quite a ways for this field trip. And talking to this kid, and out of nowhere, he just starts counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Keeps on going. Gets to 20, 30, 40, 50. The kid gets to 100. I'm thinking 97, 98, 99, 100, 101, 102. And he just keeps on going. He gets to the high 100s. And I think, hey, bud, how about you tell me a little bit about yourself? And he starts talking about all the siblings he has and all the things he does with all of his siblings. And then this one girl, God bless her, asks this kid how many people are in his family. And he goes, well, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think, heaven, no, not this again. I can't do it. Gets to 7. And he turns to me. He's like, 7. Well, but Mr. Steve, you always have to add 2, right? Because of Jesus and Mother Mary. Isn't that right? is that what you think? Yeah? Sure, throw them in there then. Why not? We can throw in 2 for Jesus and Mother Mary. And that was my only interaction I had with this kid. And all year long, that was it, the one field trip. Christmas time comes around. Sarah gets a bunch of Christmas cards from her students. And there's one in there addressed to Mr. Steve from this kid here, because I sat in the bus with him listening to count to whatever he wanted to count to. And the interesting thing, Sarah's heard this kid count to 15,000 10 times over by now. But he wrote the letter to me. And that shows you a few things. It's the relationship, not necessarily the teaching, that makes the difference. And Sarah knows this. When every letter that she got, and she got tons and gifts and everything, all those letters talked about the time that she spent with that kid, not necessarily what she was teaching about. You can lecture all you want, and that might sort of make a difference, but when you build real relationships with someone, it can transform them. I realize that this is incredibly ironic right now, because here I am, and I am giving what might be considered a lecture out to you guys. Maybe I'm on the laptop on the counter and you're doing dishes right now, and you can just hear me a little bit over the sink, or maybe you got 8 tabs open on your computer screen and you're checking out the NHL standings. Keep on scrolling down, you'll find the Canucks there, and I say that with a tear down my eye, don't worry. And I'm on the 4th tab over. You haven't opened up me in 5 minutes. Hi, I hope it's going well. And you're doing this because you're at home, and you know, maybe you're by yourself, and it's not like we're building a relationship right now. You're just listening to me, and it's kind of like a lecture, and that's honestly kind of tough for me. I wish I could be with you here in person. I wish we could be doing more together to go out and share the gospel of Jesus with our community. And when we get to our passage today, I think that's the same struggle that Paul is having with the Philippians. As you listened to Christina share last week, she shared one of the coolest passages in Philippians. Paul was sharing with them how to love one another, how they should have the same attitude as Jesus, how they should shine the gospel of Jesus into the whole world and do it all without grumbling or complaining, and they should be filled with joy as they do it. It was a really cool passage. If you missed it, go back last week and check it out. And then Paul's writing this letter. He's probably thinking some of the same things that I am right now. And he's wondering if this letter is going to be enough. If this letter is going to work, if people are going to read these words and then do what he's saying. He's worried it's not going to do it. Just like I'm kind of worried that as we prepare this live stream, this sermon, that it might not be enough. So what Paul does is he decides he needs to send someone to show them how to live this out. And that's when we get into our passage today in Philippians 2, verse 19 to 24. It says this: "If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you soon as I find out what's going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will soon come to see you." Timothy is the first person that Paul thinks to send to the Philippians, someone to show them what it's like to live out these principles, to shine bright for the gospel. And there are a few things that he mentions about Timothy. First, Timothy genuinely cared about people. From a very young age, even before that Paul knew him, Timothy was known all around his neighborhood and the places around where he lived as someone who cared for people. The whole church knew that Timothy was someone who genuinely cared. Timothy cared more about what matters to Jesus than he cared for himself. Paul even says all others care only for themselves. But Timothy cares about what matters for Jesus Christ. Timothy's in this league of his own in sacrificing his own desires, his own needs to care for others. And Timothy had proved himself. It's not just some guy who's talking the talk. He's been doing this. He's been preaching the good word. Even since a kid, people everywhere knew of him as someone who cared for others. So Paul wants to send Timothy to the Philippians so they can see someone who's actually living out this way, so that people can start to get it. It's not just some letter that he's sending, but people with that letter who are really making these sacrifices. And like Paul, I kind of feel like we're doing the modern day version of writing a letter by preparing these live stream services for you. But church, what I'm really excited about is like Paul's desire to send Timothy is we get to send out you to your communities, to your neighborhoods, to the people you know in Victoria. You've probably heard Rick Boomer come and share about Living Edge Market. I asked him the other day, he has around 60 volunteers helping him with that market. That's USBC giving up your time to help set up the market, giving up your time to go there and serve food, using your connections to supply food for that market, donating what you have, your time, your money, to make sure that we are able to send out people to that area and be representatives of Jesus Christ to the Saanich Peninsula. I heard a story this week of some volunteers there from SBC, a story that I can't share with you now because it's not my story to share. You church, there are people who are giving up so much of themselves, really taking on all of this, sacrificing your wants, your desires to serve others. And I'm so excited that we get to send you, SBC, to the Saanich Peninsula. Heard stories of our teenagers. our youngest people who we would think would want to stay safe, stay home, stick in your bubble, play video games, and they're going out downtown to meet with the people at Beacon Hill Park to hear their stories, to find out what's going on in that camp there. See if they can use what they have to be part of the solution. And I'm so excited, teenagers, that we get to send you downtown to do that. I've heard other stories of you, church, just owning your neighborhood, whether it's getting groceries for your neighbor or going for walks with people who might be lonely, or setting up even neighborhood block parties to help people get through the loneliness of COVID. We're excited to send you into your neighborhood, SBC, and you're making the difference in your community. People, for the most part, aren't going to come and just randomly find our YouTube channel and see my face and click on it, listen to me for a little while, then hear Kim sing some songs, and then transform their whole life and give up their life for Jesus. Sometimes it happens, which is a miracle, which is great, but a lot of the time it's through you showing your neighbors, showing your coworkers, the people in your life, and living out that example of what it is to live for Jesus. So like Paul, I realize this live stream is like his letter. It's not quite enough, but you, church, going into your neighborhood, using the relationships that you have and living like Jesus, that's more than enough for people to transform their lives and to get what Paul is saying here, to shine the gospel into our communities. Back to our letter. Paul can't send Timothy yet. So he sends Epaphroditus. Paul's awaiting this trial, and he needs someone there to stay with him. So he sends Epaphroditus. And this is the guy who ends up actually delivering the letter to the Philippians. He's a Philippian himself. This is someone the church in Philippi sent to Paul to go be with him. And now he's getting sent back to the Philippians. And this is what Paul says as he continues. He says, "Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He's a true brother, a co-worker, and fellow soldier, and he was your messenger to help in my time of need. I'm sending him because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he was certainly ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him, and also on me, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. So I'm all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you'll be glad to see him, and then I will not be worried about you. Welcome him in the Lord's love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve. For he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. So what is it about Epaphroditus that he wants to send? Why he wants to send him? There's not too much in the Bible about him, but there's some pretty cool things we can even pull out just from this one passage. We find out Epaphroditus got sick. He got sick when the church in Philippi sent him to be with Paul. And we found out that he was distressed. And we think, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, if I was really, really sick and about to die, of course I would be distressed. But that's actually not why he was distressed. Epaphroditus wasn't distressed because he was about to die. He was distressed because the church in Philippi heard that he was sick. He didn't want to upset them. As he was about to die, he wanted to make sure that he wasn't a downer to the church in Philippi. This is someone who lived for Christ, and for him, dying didn't matter. What was important for Epaphroditus was to live for Christ and see God work through his ministry. He was the perfect example for Paul. Just earlier, Paul had been talking about giving your life up as an offering, as a sacrifice, and this Epaphroditus, on his way to Paul, did that. Wasn't worried about his life, he was worried about the gospel. Great example of someone who was willing to sacrifice his life for God. And the more I read about this guy, the more messed up I feel that I'm the one here speaking to you. This is someone who almost died, and he didn't care about himself. He was looking to the gospel, and he wanted to see people come to know Jesus. He wanted his life to be used to share about Jesus, and he put his own needs, his own desires on the back seat. And if I put myself in his shoes, I don't know how that goes for me. And earlier, Paul, as he was talking about Timothy, he said, Timothy cares about what matters to Jesus, and everyone else only cares for themselves. The first time I read that, I thought, Paul, why are you exaggerating so much? Everyone else only cares about themselves? You can only think of Timothy? The more I read this and the more I hear about Timothy and Epaphroditus, I start to think it might have been less of an exaggeration than I first thought. Do we really care about just what matters to Jesus, or do we care for ourselves? And maybe he was talking to me there, and that everyone else piece. Maybe that's just convicting to me. Maybe it's convicting to you. Maybe you feel a little bit uncomfortable there. Care about what matters to Jesus more so than yourself. It's a good question to look into and maybe ask yourself. It's tough to stack up to these guys, to Timothy and Epaphroditus. These people were willing to sacrifice everything for the gospel. What's the takeaway other than feeling like we might not stack up? I feel like there's a few. First, is that sharing the gospel is about relationship. This message here, this live stream here, isn't enough. We prepare this in hopes that it will teach you, inspire you, maybe equip you, and give you the strength to carry on throughout your week and to do this. But this live stream itself is just like a letter, and it's not quite enough for real transformation to happen. We need relationship, and that happens through all the relationships that you have. Everywhere you go, as you go to work, school, into your neighborhood, wherever it is, those relationships that you have, that's where the real transformation happens. The second, the continuation of that, is that you're sent. We're all sent. just like Timothy and Epaphroditus were sent to encourage the church in Philippi, we, church, SBC, are sending you into your workplaces, into your neighborhoods, to share the gospel through living like Christ in front of your neighbors. The third is a good one. There's grace in all of this. You know, you look at these two guys, these examples of what it means to shine brightly in the world. And we might not stack up there. And I get it. I'm right there with you with that struggle. And that means there's probably some work that needs to be done for us. But it also means that if we truly desire to be sent into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces for God, and we desire God to use us, but we're worried we might kind of screw up along the way, we can remember that Jesus died for us too. And as these two guys were the examples of Jesus to the church in Philippi, Jesus was that example for all of us. Someone who cared more about what matters to God than he did for himself. Someone who was willing to give up his life for the church. And he didn't just do that for your neighbor, he did that for all of us. And if that's incredibly overwhelming, and you have these fears of not living up to this standard, just take a deep breath. Know that Jesus has covered your shortcomings. He's took your sin, all your failures, and he paid that price. So when we screw up, we know we're covered. In a moment here, we're going to be taking communion, and we can take some time to reflect on that, that example that Jesus came to send us, lived a perfect life, cared about what mattered only to God, not for himself, was willing to sacrifice everything for us. And we have this tradition here as a church, and sometimes we kind of forget how special it is, it's just a regular thing we do every month. But let's take some time now to reflect on that, that example that Jesus was for each of us. When we eat this bread, I'll give you some time to gather what you have at home, whatever it is. But when we eat this bread, it reminds us, it calls us to remember Jesus' broken body for us. It represents what Jesus did for us as he sacrificed his body for us. Makes us reflect that we're called to do the same, to give up our lives for the sake of the gospel. Remember that we can't always live up to that. Sometimes we care more about what matters to ourselves and not to what Jesus. And Jesus came to pay the price for our shortcomings. And as he did that, as he lived his life, not only did we put him up on the cross, but even as he was there, he didn't get angry at us for our shortcomings. wasn't vengeful for us, for not living up and being these perfect examples that we're called to be. He knew we were short, and he died for us. And we do this in remembrance of him. Let's remember him as we eat this bread. Jesus died on that cross, but as you know, of course, he didn't stay dead. And as 3 days later, he conquered death, he rose from the dead. And this cup represents his blood that was shed for us to pay the price for our shortcomings so that we can be forgiven. Let's do this in remembrance of him. Father God, thank you for sending your son, that we have someone we can look to as an example of what it means to live for you, to live a life concerned about what matters to you and not for ourselves. I pray that we can learn to grow, to live like that. God, thank you for people like Timothy and Epaphroditus, who also help and serve as those examples. Thank you for members of SBC who serve as examples like that to their communities of what it means to live for you. I pray that we as a church can grow in that, that we can be more and more like your son every day. I pray that as we do get sent out, and we do get sent out, that we live a life worthy of the gospel, God, that we are good representations of who you are. I pray for relationships to form, transformational relationships that lead to people growing in a bigger understanding of who you are. Pray a blessing for each person here listening to this service. Pray that they're reminded they are sent to wherever they are. And I pray that they leave and go with the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that you want to do great things through each and every one of them. God, in your name I pray. Amen.